Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Headlock Talk, where we're going to talk all about Survivor Series 2020. Me and my friend Fenton here. How's it going, man?
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Survivor Series Talk, right?
Survivor Series Talk, indeed. Let's hit that intro. I got to say, I'm a big fan of this intro music that we have here on the Shooting the Sports Dash Network. Fenton, hope you're doing well this evening. Everyone out there at home, just finishing Survivor Series, hope y'all are doing well this evening. Howdy, everybody. While you're in the chat, we appreciate it. Feel free to interact with us. We would love to hear what your thoughts are on Survivor Series tonight. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe. Tell your friends all about Shooting the Sports-ish and Survivor Series talk, which is what it is.
Talk-ish, right?
Talk-ish. Yes, there we go. Love it. Love it. Interesting stuff here tonight, Mr. Fenton. You are not the one, the only Mr. Stephen Grudy, as the Twitter handle there points out. There's a lot that happened here. What were your thoughts, I guess, in general about Survivor Series tonight?
In a nutshell, I have a few things that I really liked and some things I didn't, if we're being honest. I think Survivor Series should mean a little more, right? We make it this big deal of Raw and SmackDown, but we don't have tallies of, okay, this brand won this many matches versus this brand. That didn't exist this year. There was nothing at stake either for the big matches. So Roman beat Drew. Great. What did Roman get out of it? Like, those are kind of the things that bothered me, but that's more or less what the show, from the outside looking in. Visually, I thought the show was very good. I thought it was a very entertaining program. I thought the Taker stuff was much better in a lot of ways than I expected it to be. I loved the tag team match. I thought it was one of the better tag team matches WWE has had in a very long time. What were some of your hits from the show?
Man, I gotta say, coming away with this, coming away from this pay-per-view, there's really three great matches that they really had on the card here. I thought Asuka versus Sasha Banks was very, very good. I think that Street Profits versus The New Day really spoke highly for what tag team wrestling should be in WWE. I think we even saw a tweet from one of the members of FTR saying thank you to the New Day and to the Street Profits for what they provided tonight. I think, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I think I was proven right in that Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns was ultimately going to be a better main event than Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton would have been.
Look at the build for this one, right? The build for this match was really good. Like, I know it was short. Okay, that being said, like, there's a lot of things we can critique. In my opinion, this should have been a WrestleMania match. But look, long story, now you have the babyface, if that's the direction you want to go, wanting revenge on the heel. Like, there's a long-term build, too. I get it. But this short two-week SmackDown, I liked it, man. I really did. I thought it was a prime example of what WWE can do for their main program if they want to put all cylinders behind it. And then the match delivered how I thought it would, man. I thought both people really worked hard. I thought that not only Drew, but Roman brought their A game in this match to show everyone, hey, we can go in the ring too. This is not just a mic contest, which I'll go back to SmackDown because of the unorthodox style of the promo with Roman sitting at the head of the table and you're able to hear that vocal back and forth. It gave it a real feel. I thought everything they did with these two was good.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. And I really liked the slight little hint of the feeling it's not finished yet, and we're gonna obviously dive more into that here as we go on throughout the remainder of the pay-per-view, but like they did the huge pan in with Drew's face at the end of the match, and he looked probably as pissed off as I've ever seen him, to be perfectly honest. It felt like it hurt his pride.
Right, of course it did. I mean, you look at that, and I think, again, they've done such a good job building Drew and such a good job of making sure he's protected that losing this match here, however way it was a loss, it doesn't hurt him like it would have hurt someone else. And that's a credit to them, and I'll give him credit for that. If we go back to the match, though, you had mentioned the match itself. Very good, very entertaining, went longer than some expected. And then at the end, you mentioned Drew's facials and where he's going for revenge. I think it's going to be interesting on Raw. Do we see Sheamus turn on Drew? Or are we going to see another Randy Orton-Drew match at TLC? Not that I want to. I think the program's wrapped up. But if you did go backwards, at least it still makes sense in this realm of Randy's demanding a rematch, even though they're not guaranteed, that sort of thing.
Right. Right. And that's where I'm like really kind of curious to know, again, what we're going to see later on down the road as far as Sheamus goes, because Sheamus has long rumored been the next destination, the next logical step for Drew McIntyre. If y'all are sitting in the chat, let us know what you think. Is it who's next for Drew? Is it Sheamus? Is it Randy? Where are we going here post Survivor Series for the title scene? But before we get into that, I also want to hear your thoughts, Finn, and the thoughts of you guys here in the chat here for what I would call our top story. The top story here tonight, I really feel, is 30 years. 30 years of The Undertaker. I sent out the tweet, and it's idiotic and it's dumb, and I get it, but I find it's funny. I just tweeted, like, 30 years is a really long time. like you get to see the montage that they had for him and the video package, as I said, which was beautifully made video package for The Undertaker. But you look at some of the clips and the footage that they chose, and he's been around for a hell of a long time, Finn.
I look back as a kid, and Taker scared the hell out of me when I was a kid. I was a little Hulkamaniac as a kid. I'm from Detroit. I was at the Survivor Series when Taker won his first in. I remember very little, don't get me wrong. However, Taker had that persona back in the late 80s and super early 90s, obviously, that larger-than-life character. And he was able to transform that into the 90s and even the late 90s before he had to change it up completely. That's one hell of a run, 30 years. That is a hell of a run. It was the highlight of the show because there wasn't any shenanigans. It was a complete send-off. It was total respect. I liked it a lot. I thought the... Why don't you tell everyone out there that's listening about the Paul Bearer hologram or graphic as you describe? I mean...
Yeah. I mean, that... So that was a... That was quite an interesting moment. The admin over at Shooting the Sports Ish, I believe that was probably Tony, if I'm not mistaken. He's in the chat here. I'm barely older than Taker's career. That's nuts. Yeah, absolutely.
It does make you feel old when you see athletes' careers from start to finish, and you're like, oh.
Right, yep. Right. For perspective, I just turned 30 this year. So I'm like... So he's been around for practically my whole life, which is nuts to me. Mike JC in the chat, why they have 20 people come out to the ring for no reason and then leave? I think it's more to do with Vince McMahon than
was it entertaining for people? Did they get a solid reaction out of those people they brought out? I think for the most part, it got over pretty well. I think it was introducing people from Taker's past. But if you want to get deep into it, you didn't have Cena. You didn't have Hulk Hogan. Those two were super important. And so was Brock Lesnar, who ended the streak. And those were three guys, essentially, who I thought should have been a bigger part of this, and they weren't.
I'll give you a fourth name, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Absolutely.
He was not there. He was a huge part of Undertaker's career. And they even did the whole, you know, he's doing the Stone Cold Sessions part deux on the WWE Network right now. right now. I mean, you should watch us. Not, I mean, you can watch Stone Cold later. It'll be there. It'll be on replay, ladies and gentlemen. But he's doing that right now. So yeah, and then I mean, we could talk about. I mean, The Rock. I mean, though The Rock, I'm sure is not in any particular desire to come to a WWE event at the moment.
All correct.
But that's neither here nor there. Yeah, no. I think that you had mentioned the hologram situation. A lot of people, a lot of memes going on right now with the hologram situation right now on Twitter. I thought it was a nice touch. A little bit odd, but a nice touch nonetheless.
I don't think it's odd at all. And here's why. Yeah. Pro wrestling. Pro wrestling has always been over the top, right? So yeah. You found something that worked in mainstream pop culture. Because in Vince's mind, the only time he's ever seen that would have been the Tupac one. I understand mm-hmm. there's been others, but that's what Vince would have seen based on views and clicks.
Yeah.
Someone brought that to the attention, or he saw it, and whatever. I thought it was cool. I had no issue with it. I thought it was really a cool touch at WrestleMania this past year where you had Howard Finkel's voice when the mic dropped from the ceiling. Like, it's wrestling, guys. They're not mm-hmm. doing it in a disrespectful way, which is nice. Like,
true. True.
I mean, we didn't get a Katie Vick appearance, which was important because you had Triple H and Kane in the ring at the same time. So...
this is very true. Katie Vick didn't even cross my mind. maybe a little bit. Okay. So we didn't really. I mean, people had been like, "Oh, well, is he going to have another match? Are they going to announce another match?" I mean, it was definitive. He's not having another match. This is it. I'm done.
You know what, though? It was definitive tonight.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned from... I think this was Vince's saying, you're done.
Yeah.
My concern would be when there's fans in full capacity in 2022, wherever they run at Mania, how is Taker feeling after not working for a couple of years? I'm just being completely serious. Like, I could totally see that happening. Again, he showed that he was done. Like, it's over. But
yeah,
it was one of the more special moments. I thought when Vince introduced him, by the way, was very magical because I think that's Vince's final call in the business. I don't think we have Vince in a ring talking again, to be completely honest with you. I think that was it. It was one of his biggest creations outside of Hulk Hogan. And again, you can credit Terry Bollea and Hulk Hogan to some of that too, but The Undertaker was all Vince and the creative team, their gimmick, their character. So when I say his greatest creation, that's why. So he takes a lot of pride in it too, and I get it.
Well, because I'm feeling particularly sentimental, I guess, Fenton, what matches come to mind when you think of The Undertaker, when you think of his legacy, when you think of what The Undertaker means to wrestling? I mean, he's provided obviously 30 years of very, very good matches. He set a very high bar for all the men and women who ever have walked through the WWE locker room. I guess what in your mind stands out, I guess, as far as The Undertaker's finest moments or finest matches?
So the first three that come to my mind, without me thinking, which I would assume would be because they just hit me at that moment. Taker Hogan's Survivor Series 1990, Taker wins the title. Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels in the casket match, because I remember it being a really good match, and I also remember it being Shawn's last match for a long, long time. Taker, Mankind, Hell in a Cell. Because again, we're talking relay clips. We're talking the best of the best. You're probably putting one of those highlights in for somebody who hasn't seen part of the Undertaker's career before. So again, those were just the first three that hit the top of my head. They hit the Taker casket match part. They hit the Paul Bearer part. They hit the more vicious side of the Taker part. If I would have to add anything, however, that Kamala casket match also hits me. And so does Yokozuna for whatever reason. a lot of promos, I guess, building the bigger caskets for Taker, like hyping it up. One was at Royal Rumble. One was at Survivor Series. So,
yeah, no, I mean, those are, I mean, excellent examples of like the earlier part of his career.
Now this time, however, Taker, with the assistance of Edge and Christian, hung the Big Boss Man from a Hell in a Cell with a noose by the back of his neck and committed a murder on live national television. But hey, he also at one point put somebody on the symbol. The symbol.
Yeah. Very careful to say that it's not any particular kind of symbol.
That dots, eyes, and crosses will move on. All right. But we look at some of your favorite moments of Taker. What ones hit your mind?
So, I guess I got to go with the first one that really comes to mind is the one that, I guess, my really first introduction into Undertaker, goodness. For all of those at home who have never experienced this before, there used to be these things called Blockbusters where you would actually go into a store and you would purchase for rental a VHS tape, which you put into what's called a VCR, and you know, there's a rewind and you watch the video, right? It's all on film.
You might want to hit the top story button. We have what is a VCR? That's what people are saying right now. That is what they're saying. When I go, hey, I traded wrestling tapes with people.
Yeah.
What's a tape? What do you mean? So breaking news. Yeah, you can't hit the search button back in 1997 and pull up your favorite match.
Indeed. There used to be tapes. Where that you had to on physical film that you had to do that. Breaking news, that was a thing. We all had to go through it. So one of the marquee videotape rentals that I remember getting from Blockbuster was WrestleMania 14, which was main evented obviously by Shawn Michaels versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. Mike Tyson was the special enforcer at ringside, but it also featured Kane versus The Undertaker. And that was a very, very special match to me. I mean, that's got to be up there with maybe one of my favorite Undertaker matches, bar none, is the WrestleMania 14 one. I think we also, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the Shawn Michaels WrestleMania matches. Those were outstanding, in my opinion. Perhaps,
absolutely,
arguably,
you're
of the best matches of his career.
I think, and sorry to cut you short there, at my opinion, what came to mind, they definitely weren't his top five moments because you're 100% right. Those Shawn matches were incredible. I mean, redefined what WWE was looking to do in a ring for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, if you think about like WrestleMania 25 was supposed to be like this really big marquee event, you had, but it experienced some really weird like fissures throughout the whole show, particularly the Triple H Randy Orton match, which should have been no holds barred or no disqualification, whatever. And then they turned it into a Triple H loses the title if he gets disqualified. So it's the exact opposite logic that you would ideally want to have. But that show was saved in a lot of ways by Undertaker and Shawn Michaels having perhaps arguably one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. Probably top two, at least. I know a lot of people would put the Bret and Owen match from WrestleMania 10 up there, but I mean, this one here was beautiful, I thought. He also had a great series of matches with Triple H, and then, I mean,
you know what's one that comes to mind that I forgot to, and I know we're still talking about Taker's career. There was this concept called Shotgun Saturday Night back in 1995-1996-ish, where WWF would wrestle at nightclubs or bars Saturday night at midnight. It lasted about 4 weeks before it got canceled, then moved to 2 a.m. and whatever. The Undertaker tombstoned Triple H on an escalator. And they went all the way down the escalator. And I thought to myself the entire time, Triple H's hair is going to get stuck in that escalator. And I freak. I didn't think about his head. I didn't think about a concussion. I'm like, oh, shit. The hair is going to get eaten. The escalator is going to eat him. Oh, no. That's all I remember as a kid thinking, watching that. I'm like, yeah. He was fine.
You're gonna see a murder tonight. Eaten by this escalator.
But a hell of a match. I'd recommend looking it up, though. Those two tore the house down in front of 48 people that were wasted.
That's spectacular. Yeah, I mean, so many great moments, and obviously probably the most shocking moment of all time, probably to this day, as far as just wrestling history in general, Undertaker losing at WrestleMania 30 to Brock Lesnar, which is going to be a controversial item for all time. I wouldn't say I'm
showing my age. Thanks, Tony. I'm just showing the fact of some of us had to stay up late and watch ECW at 2:30 in the morning and shot and Saturday night happened to be before it. Okay.
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
It is what it is, though. I mean, you mentioned it. What else of Taker's career moving forward, though? You mentioned the Shawn matches. You mentioned everything else. I guess we move into the American Badass part of Taker. And then there was some Hell in a Cell matches that were kind of gimmicky. And then later on, we did have more gimmicky matches, including WrestleMania the year before last. I'll say this. I think Vince gave more faith in The Undertaker than anyone else. Like, if there was anything he wanted to try, it was like, all right, let's work a Taker program in there. Like, that Boneyard match would have never happened if it wasn't for Taker.
Oh, I mean, exactly. some chats going on here. Dylan Tracy says, Tom, get him. Tony in the chat. Shotgun Saturday means something completely different in Texas. Yes, it does. but yeah, the American Badass section of Undertaker's career is interesting. I know we're not going to talk the whole show about Undertaker, and obviously we got to devote some of it to Survivor Series, but this is a vital part of basically everything that's been all weekend. As far as his American Badass era, you brought it up, and one of the matches that really comes to mind was the Raw, where they had Jeff Hardy challenge The Undertaker in a world titles match, ladder match. And JR's famous commentary throughout that match, "Make yourself famous, kid." You know, it's beautiful. It's a real work of art, that match, because there was that slight little bit of Jeff Hardy just might beat The Undertaker and do this. And at the height of Taker being maybe one of the most dangerous guys in wrestling, that being his gimmick, his character, he was just brutal and violent throughout that entire extended run.
During that run, it wasn't just he was brutal and violent. Like, he was the locker room leader. He was the badass in the locker room. They kind of portrayed that on screen. And in this Jeff Hardy match, Taker came to the ring in "I'll Make You Famous." It was his gimmick, and they beat the hell out of that gimmick throughout the match. JR gets the call on that, but the call and the promotion for it was pretty much exclusively for this match. As you mentioned, like, they put Hardy in a really good spot. He didn't win, but it looked good. Further, though, with the American Badass gimmick, though, as you were mentioning, there was a Spike Dudley choke slam that, God, I will never forget. Taker is on the apron. Spike Dudley is in the ring. Taker grabs Spike Dudley from in the ring, spins, and choke slams him straight to the ground. Spike does a complete flat across the padding that was about this thick at the time, and I thought he's dead. He died. Yeah. Taker killed someone else. He was fine, but yeah.
No, I mean, we could literally go all night about The Undertaker. Great moment. Obviously, hashtag thank you, Taker. Tony's saying, I love that you guys are actually talking about Taker. Yeah, I mean, go figure. I mean, I'm glad that
we talked Roman Drew. That was important, right? And then we went on to Taker.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, that this Survivor Series, if nothing else, should be about Undertaker. I mean, there was good matches, obviously. There was great matches. We talked about it just a moment ago. But this night was truly about 30 years of The Undertaker. And it's brilliant. I really enjoyed the montage that they gave to him. I'm not a big fan of Metallica's ladder stuff, but you know what? Respect, because that's what he wanted.
And we could have lived without the Inferno matches, but hey, it was more of a Kane thing. But we'll move forward.
The danger of men getting lit on fire.
In this buried alive match, we're going to bury The Undertaker 6 feet down, and then he will stick his hand out of the ground approximately 14 seconds after we bury him with a dump truck. Ready, go.
I really can't wait for the memoir that's going to come out where he shares all the secrets of how he did this.
Now, is he going to share them on TikTok? Is he going to share them on what server is he using now? What server he using?
You have to pay the $1,000 to get that, the one-on-one time. And you then ask the question, and then you put it into a Word document. Survivor Series, which is the point of tonight's show, of course. Not just The Undertaker, but Survivor Series as a whole. Show opened with a battle royal won by The Miz. Now, Fenton, I'm not a Miz fan. I don't know how familiar you are.
Let's clear up The Miz really quick, okay? He is what he is.
Yeah.
The Miz is your 10-6 or 9-7 football team every single year. He will get in. He'll do the job you tell him to do. If you need to elevate him to a first-round playoff win or a second-round one even and put the title on for 3 months, that's okay. Not long-term, right? Not that 14-win, not that 14-2 team, right? But he also carries ratings on his reality show. And he's also a household name above a lot of the other roster. And Vince does care about that, if that makes sense.
He does. No, he absolutely does.
In the ring, does he blow my mind? No, he wrestles what he needs to in the most respectful way, and he's managed to keep himself very healthy throughout the process. That being said, I didn't watch the pre-show, wasn't really interested. Don't understand why Miz would win anything if he's holding a briefcase, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Dylan Tracy, Miz's win by a technicality is the most Miz win possible right now. Yeah, no, I mean, not wrong. The Miz just has me rattled. I guess what my real concern is, if Miz is really only this 10-6 or 9-7 guy, why does he have the Money in the Bank briefcase?
A 9-7 or 10-6 guy can make a run. A wild card guy can make a run. They're not going to hold the legacy that a Roman would in multiple championships, but they can make a run. Again, I don't agree with him having it, but they had to get it off of Otis because it was a one shot and done kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There was kind of nowhere they wanted to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, and this is where I see this going.
Okay.
Sheamus turns on Drew at some point. Drew beats Sheamus in a match. Sheamus, after the match, brutalizes him. The Miz comes down, tries to cash in. Drew squeaks out a pinfall because it's Drew. That's how I get, or loses, but that's how I kind of see this one playing out. Probably within the next 2 months, because they don't usually carry this past Rumble or even into Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Not usually, at least.
Right. I guess that's really what has me baffled is why they even put him in that position in the first place. But I mean, I get it. I mean, Otis was kind of a one-shot kind of deal. They didn't really figure out exactly what they wanted to do with him, or they had second thoughts about it. I guess they saw Miz as a slightly safer pick. But I mean, it does seem a bit contrary to me that if they valued him so high, being Mr. Miz and Mrs. Mr. USA, as he was pointing out on the back of his shirt tonight, why you would give him the briefcase just to lose to such a strong guy like Drew, for example.
Right.
That's just my feeling, though. I know that there's a lot of people out there who really do like The Miz, you know, and good for you, because there's got to be those people out there. More of a statement victory here once we get into the actual show. Survivor Series itself, the 5-on-5 men's match opened the show proper with a Raw clean sweep. That was brutal. I don't know if I expected an actual clean sweep here from Team Raw, but I felt pretty shocked by it. Finn, how did you feel about it?
When I did my review show for this particular match, I said to myself, I said, Keith Lee's going to get the big rub. Raw's going to win big. I didn't think they wouldn't have an elimination, however. That was kind of my first thought of it. I thought, okay, somebody, nope. And then they celebrated all happy, too, which makes me believe tomorrow night on Raw, I have to deal with Retribution and Team Raw again. And then Team Raw explodes, and then we go from there. But, I mean, that's why I think they did that, at least. From the SmackDown side of things, Seth Rollins is gone. Baron Corbin's a joke character at this point. Jay got his comeuppance later.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens has been on this teeter-totter of I don't know and I really don't know for the last 18 months. It's just where I'm at with it.
I do feel particularly bad about Kevin Owens because he does seem to have constantly been on this teeter-totter, this kind of roller coaster of ups and downs. I mean, he was in the title talk, you know, a couple years ago at the height of Kofi Mania. And you know, similarly with, I mean, maybe you could point to like Shinsuke Nakamura a year before him. You know, we've got these really, really talented guys, and they're seemingly kind of stuck in neutral. It's kind of a killer, man. I really don't know what to say about Survivor Series 5-on-5 SmackDown side of things, but Raw hit him with a clean sweep. Obviously, there's Sheamus looked pretty decent here in this match. I think that they're definitely propping him up for sure. Braun Strowman looked fantastic, I thought, too. He looked like an absolute monster.
I worry about where they're going with Braun, though. There seems to be no direction. Like, Braun did X, Y, and Z, but then I don't know what we're going to use or do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's interesting. I did not see them doing a clean sweep, but
sweep. Team Raw wins this one, and then we go into, if I'm not mistaken, Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn.
Yes. Yep. Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn. There was, though, Street Profits versus New Day
Best match on the show. I'm sorry. I thought that was after that. This match ruled. This was one of the best WWE tag team matches in a very long time. Loved every minute of this matchup. The story they told, from the finish they told, from not trying to go too long to leaving themselves an opportunity for volume 2 later. Loved it.
Dylan in the chat, man, the fact Shinsuke was in the battle royal killed me. Dude should have at least been on the main card. Yes, indeed, Dylan. This is true. Street Profits, New Day, they put on a fantastic, fantastic match. I think sure that, I mean, I part of me thinks, and it's got to be no secret, I'm sure WWE guys watch AEW, AEW guys watch WWE, everybody's watching everybody else, right? Everybody watches New Japan, everybody watches pretty frequently anything that comes out.
Solid mix, not everyone, but solid mix, right? Most people that care about what they're doing, not all, it's not disrespect to the ones that don't, but agreed, yes, most will cross it over, sure.
well, knowing is maybe as familiar as maybe Xavier Woods would be, how knowledgeable he is about his field and about his industry. I'm sure that he knows about the FTR and Young Bucks match, and I'm sure that he wanted to, as well as anybody else, wanted to make as good of a match as what FTR and the Young Bucks had, or better, or just put on just plainly the best match that they possibly could. And I think they exceeded those expectations. They exceeded my expectations, absolutely.
I liked the match better. And I say this for a lot of different reasons. I say this under the circumstances they're given, the criteria they're given, the work efforts. But I also look at it from Kofi and Xavier wanted to make that match as, not only, as you'd mentioned, for the other reasons, but to help make the profits. Like, they made these guys from tag team champions who are good and entertaining to, oh, these boys can work. They can go. That was awesome to see. Like, again, loved this match. I was surprised, I guess, because I thought it was early enough to where the profits could have lost. And there wouldn't have been anything wrong with it. You could have built them back up for a rematch later, the redemption route, right? Because they would still be the champions. Everything's fine. Went the other way, monster rub. And that's fine, too, because New Day loses nothing from it at all.
Oh, no, absolutely. And that was the real beauty of it. And Montez Ford's selling is just off the charts. It was so, so good. It was so good. And even like the little bit of, you know, them doing the midnight hour and them pointing out, you know, well, Xavier's not Big E. He doesn't have that power base to pull off the big
that
ending like Big E.
Yeah.
It's very important. You know, I really enjoyed that match. I really, really enjoyed that match a lot. You say it was the best match, your favorite match of the night?
I didn't just think it was my favorite match of the night. I thought it was one of the better tag team matches I've seen in WWE. I popped up a tweet for you.
Yes. Dylan says, I might be spoiled by AEW tag matches recently, but I didn't think that this Profits New Day match was super great. I just thought it was good. Nothing wrong with it. Just not amazing to me.
I think that's where I differ watching some of the stuff, only for the fact of it told me the story it wanted to. It went the distance it needed to go. It put over who was intended on putting over. They didn't blow any spots. Both teams worked their ass off. There was a comeback. There was a second comeback. I enjoyed the match, and it's no disrespect to anything that was mentioned from AEW, right? My concern with some of the tag matches that I give criticism for, and there's some that are amazing. Like, they've had great tag matches there. Like, anybody who takes some of those tag matches away, you'd be lying to yourself. My concerns there are some of the rules and the ref involvement on tags and counts and believability. That's all. So when I look at this match, it was by the book how I look at a Survivor Series tag team match. It's like one of those old school WrestleMania tag team matches. Go out and steal the show. Go do something. Like, I remember Demolition and Strikeforce wasn't amazing, but it was so good that on the WrestleMania card with the tournament, I believe it was WrestleMania 4. Yes, it was WrestleMania 4. Second from main was Demolition and Strikeforce. And as a kid, you look at this match where, again, they're larger than life people, but when you go back as a historian, a fan, a writer, a person of interest, whoever you are, you're like, wow, it's just different. Like, the guys got it, and these guys tonight got it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, and I think that's there's another deeper lying point in that you hear Stone Cold on his podcast every once in a while say, you know, you have to go be willing to go out and grab it and steal the show, and you know, he has these little nuggets of wisdom, and I think that Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston in particular have been around long enough in this business to know that, yeah, you have to go out and do that. And I think that they passed along a little bit of that to the Street Profits here. It's okay to go as long as you need to go. Have a great match, though. Like, that's what's vitally important here. Next up on the card was Fidel Castro, I mean, Sami Zayn facing off with Bobby Lashley in a match that happened.
God, you hit the nail on the head. It kind of happened. A match that was there on the show, right? Because it was the worst built match, on the show. You had this program 16 months ago where these guys hated each other. Sammy brings Bobby's sisters in, blah, blah, blah. We bring up none of this.
No.
And then you match. Yeah, right. You have this match where Sammy goes in. Bobby's as protected as WWE would protect anyone not holding their main title. That includes over their IC champion. Bobby is very protected.
Mm-hmm.
You have Sammy fight off the Hurt Business. It wasn't great. Again, like you mentioned, though, there was nothing before that. So how are you going to get me invested if there was nothing before to tell me to be invested?
Yep.
I didn't like this matchup from the get-go, and I even liked it less later because it was almost like a backward step for both men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the only thing that it really put over is Bobby Lashley being very, very strong, which I think we knew that. I think we all knew
that. Did you, though? Bobby Lashley is strong. Hit the breaking news button.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. We got some breaking news.
Bobby Lashley is strong.
He is.
He's heard it here last.
He's a very strong man. And that the Hurt Business, they hurt people, and they're in business. They're in the business of hurting people.
That's all we know right now. They're in business. They make money. MVP's great. Bobby looks like $1 million. They're never going to do anything with him long term. Let's move forward.
They got great suits. The suits are great.
Oh, the suits were great tonight. I love suit game, right? It's my favorite thing to do when I get to actually travel and I'm not in lockdown. Suit game is fantastic to me. These suits tonight were great. Black on black with gold ties and gold pocket black checkered squares. Mm. The chef's kiss. Outstanding.
It's wonderful stuff, really. Truly. Sasha Banks versus Asuka. They had a great match. Great match between these two. I really do feel like on any given day, either of these women are at the top of the women's division within WWE, and I mean, in all likelihood, perhaps some of the top just in the industry as a whole.
As a whole, yes.
Yeah. I was really actually surprised that they had Sasha Banks go over here. I think that a SmackDown win is necessary, but I really, really like that they put Sasha over here. Let me see here. Mike JC, he wants to talk about the Lashley. Lashley tweeted Sammy earlier today saying he wanted them to go out there and show they deserve to be on the shirt, and they failed to do that. Yeah, they did.
I mean, dude, I won't spend too much time.
It wasn't terrible. Like I've seen way worse matches.
No, it wasn't bad. It wasn't even bad. You say terrible, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't great. It wasn't good, and it wasn't going to be. It wasn't set up to be like that. It was set up to be, here's where we are, what's next? So tell me, what was next on the show? Because I'm not talking about this match anymore, because they didn't care, and I'm not going to care.
No, yeah, I mean, well, it's Sasha and Asuka. I mean, they clearly had a great match, and I recommend to anybody who has not seen it to go and watch it. It was quite wonderful. I was very surprised that they had Sasha Banks go over here, though. I mean, they have kept Asuka strong, but I do feel like her stock is slowly dwindling, as maybe Cam would point out on the sports market.
I don't know if it's dwindling. I think this was one of those matchups where when I looked at this card, how do I balance it between Raw and SmackDown? Unfortunately, this is one of those matches I'm going to the SmackDown brand based on the balancing of powers. I don't really necessarily think it had anything to do with Asuka per se.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we look at SmackDown now, and you have Sasha feuding with who?
Sasha is feuding with
right. Exactly. Yeah. Then you have the Raw brand, and we have Asuka feuding with who? Exactly. So concerns all over the place of where you're going with your angles, and you better fix them. Yeah. However, match for match, it's Sasha and Asuka. You said it. Two of the top eight in the world, without a doubt.
Yeah, I like that take. I really do like that take. You're absolutely right. I like that they put Sasha over. I make no bones about it. I'm a big Sasha Banks fan. I think that she needed the win more, and I think that you're right. I think SmackDown needed the win more too. I think that you make very, very valid points here. The next match is it makes me slightly uncomfortable. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown women's 5-on-5 match. Okay. Solely focused around an odd bullying angle towards Lana, in which one of the perpetrators of this is Nia Jax, who was at the epicenter of her own bullying angle not too long ago with Alexa Bliss. I really don't feel like I need to spend any time on this match. It was the second longest match on the card at just shy of 24 minutes, which I felt is a little bit more than necessary. I feel like you could have given more time to Sasha and Asuka. I feel like you could have given more time to the Street Profits and New Day, though that was perfect timing, I think, on their part. You could have even given more time to the 5-on-5 men's match, but I don't know why we did this match. Like, besides pointing out that bullying is bad, and we knew that bullying is bad. You didn't have to bully Lana for 8 weeks on television.
I hated everything about this match. I hated the fact how Lana went over. I hated the fact how they did the eliminations. Hmm. I hated that. I think they needed more of a shine on Bianca Belair. Some will say, well, no, she did X, Y, and Z. Well, no, she didn't. That's fine. But I thought coming out of this matchup, right, Nia is established as probably not a great worker, good look, everything's fine visually, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shane will be fine, whatever they do with her. Whether it's great things they do with her or bad things, she'll work the role, right?
Right.
But again, I'm just like, why? Like, I look at the finish, and it's like you did a double countout. You should have probably had Bianca come in here, gorilla press Nia Jax in front of everyone, and say, here's who I am. And then at the Rumble, you have Bianca toss out Nia and go, bitch, here's who I am. You can play that off all the way to Mania on different brands, and you've done it right. And while it's not the most optical thing, guess what? You're planting that story in people's brains and giving them a chance to care.
Right. Well, and I don't even have anything personally against Lana. I really don't. I respect what she does. I respect that she works hard. It's being a professional wrestler in general is a massive hustle on anybody's part. You could still have Bianca Belair win the match. You could still have her military press Nia Jax. I think if you really wanted to get Lana over, have her put Nia Jax through a table. Have her put Shayna Baszler through a table like she's been put through tables by the two of them for week in, week out for a month and a half. Like, you could literally do that. And Lana would be just as over, if not more over, than what she was, you know?
So here's my hot take. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You want to get Lana super over?
Okay.
You have Mr. Miro come from the crowd. You have him help pick up Nia, put her on Lana's shoulders to crash through the table. Miro then becomes the supportive husband of Lana before getting back in the ring. And I say all these things based on contracts and deals, but hey, I'm just saying it would be interesting. That's all.
I got something for you. You ready? Breaking news, Miro back to WWE confirmed.
Fuck,
we're going for it.
Fuck.
We're going for it.
I got 28,000 clicks last time somebody went for it.
Hey, you know what? I think it's great, man. I think it's great, Finn. personally. I would like to see it. I would like to see it done.
It's just something. And yeah. Again, like we wrapped up Survivor Series, but again, it was a good show.
Yeah.
We had the Taker highlights. We had the tag highlights. I just wish there was more of a 4-on-4 or a 5-on-5 where we don't like each other. Like, I miss those matches on Survivor Series. It now seems like if there's a group or a brand, we go to War Games and NXT, which will be the next pay-per-view, obviously. So,
Well, yeah, I mean, the brand versus brand stuff I feel is like highly unnecessary. Like, yeah, where are the times where we had? I mean, this is probably not even the best example, but I remember, you know, there was the Survivor Series 5-on-5 Team Austin versus Team Bischoff. And, you know, it was the historic Shawn Michaels last stand where he was, you know, basically fighting to keep Stone Cold Steve Austin employed on Raw. And he was just a bloody mess. And it was a really, really wonderful match. I mean, you could build angles with, you know, just using sheer hatred instead of having to go brand versus brand. I get that. It's logic. Mike, JC, Tanner going to the well with the breaking news button, huh? Yeah. Yep. No, I mean, hey, it was breaking news. Miro back to AEW or back from AEW to WWE. Confirmed. Tony says, yeah, we all do. It's true. We do. Roman defeats Drew. I have an interesting take here. Given how
pull it out, interesting take on Roman Drew. Hit me with it.
So, I really think, and I could be way way off. Okay. I could be way off. After tonight, I really think that they're going to do Drew versus Sheamus. Drew's going to go over. Drew's going to win the Royal Rumble again as champ, and he's going to call out Roman, and they're going to unify the titles.
I love every bit of that. I think it's great. I love it. I don't think it's going to happen. But I love it all of it. No, but you're not far off. And here's the ploy here, right? If you can't land The Rock, and if Brock's not coming back due to COVID reasons, and I get it, okay? And I respect it. Right,
he's on his farm in Canada, and we should respect that.
He's here, Canada's in- but if you can't, get him to come to the Undertaker, if you can't get him to come to the Undertaker retirement ceremony after testing negative twice this week, I mean, my question is, can you get him anyway? So, listen, you mentioned Mania Main, right? Going back, turn it all off. Roman Drew would be your biggest match without anyone else coming in. Could you do it bigger with Roman Rock, with Brock Drew too? You sure could. You absolutely could. Here's the thing. WWE debating on when to run Mania next year, whether March 2nd week or April the last week, is a big difference. And it's a big difference due to COVID effects. That's 7 weeks. That will be a huge difference of legalities at that point. If I'm WWE, I turn that clock back as far back as I could go or as far forward. And I mean that by the following. You turn it up to middle of March, you don't run Mania. You run Backlash, or you throw something in there. Give everyone something else, right? And then I'm running Mania the last week of May. Because I know Vince McMahon wants a full house. And the only way you'll get a full house is with vaccines being everywhere and limitations being opened. And that's why I'm saying that. It's super important to him. He's now at the point where he wanted some fans at SummerSlam, lost it. He wanted fans at Survivor Series, lost it. He's looking at Texas for Rumble, probably not going to get fans. So now he's going, what do I have to do to get them at Mania? And that's where we're at.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, so let's say we go with that. I think that there is still a couple of issues that would prevent prevent us from doing that with Brock or with The Rock. I mean, you certainly got to convince Brock. You got to throw a lot of money his way. You got to ensure that he'll not get COVID in Texas or wherever.
Brock is very easy. It's okay. Yeah. Am I secure? And are you cutting the check? Yeah. Brock is also very expensive.
He is very expensive, and this is a pandemic, which is unfortunate. The Rock is also very expensive, and he's had COVID, and politically, I don't think that he's very inclined right now to want to work for WWE.
He sure isn't.
Let me see here. Tony in the chat. He's 100% getting fans if he does Rumble in Texas. Depends on what part of Texas.
I think he wants to do it at the Rangers ballpark.
I don't know. I know that's not a good take. I just don't know. I don't know if that would happen. Like, I feel like there would be. Dallas is a very big city that, again, we are not a politics show. We are not a politics show, but
let's move forward.
Dallas went very blue. So I really have my reservations.
Blue,
about that.
Red, yellow. The Undertaker wore purple gloves at one point. There was some gray, right? Let's move purple forward. Gloves.
Yes, he also had a purple hat, I believe, at one point as
See?
Well.
See, that was Survivor Series, folks.
Exactly, Survivor Series. I guess my point here, as I'm messing up my hair consistently throughout the rest of the show, I really feel like Drew versus Roman would be just a rematch, well worth doing again in WrestleMania, title for title. I think that unifying the titles has been something that they've long missed the boat on.
No,
they should really do it.
No. Let's put a little beep beep. You got a beep beep on that line? Beep beep.
I don't have that sound effect. You can upload it later though. That'd be great.
And I will. You can't run Drew and Roman because you've buried everybody else. So unless you're getting outside stars or deciding that, hey, it's a good idea to push the rest of your talent, you can't run that again. Your number two and number three match will have to be so built up they won't know what to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, you could always redo Edge and Orton, which I think that they've already
thought about and planned on doing. Yes, they did.
Yeah, as long as Edge's tricep holds.
So here's the question, right? If you stick to original booking and you plan to do Edge Orton, that would mean Miz takes title off of Roman. Edge or Orton takes title off of Miz. Very likely, by the way, especially if Miz says, I need my rematch. I don't care who's champion. Then you can go that route of going there. And Orton Edge is enough name to beat the other name. But where is my number three match on the show?
You could have
No, he's not there. Hang on.
He's coming back.
No, he's not.
He's not. You could do the
no. Also, bad back. Not
coming back.
No.
You could do the wedding of Mandy and Otis.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us this week on Headlock Talk. Yeah, Survivor Series recap. You mentioned Mandy and Otis, and I'm out.
We did it, guys. No, seriously, Roman versus Drew, match was slow. It was good after probably about the first 5 minutes. I really enjoyed it. I can't tell if Finn's actually frozen or if I killed him. I'm so sorry.
A little bit of both. Yeah, no, we had this earlier. Great match. Everybody won on this one. Very good. No issues.
It's great. Yeah, we cover this very, very well, I think. Let's get to a few comments before we head on out of here. Tony has a lot of things to say. He says, nah, man, even Houston had fans at Energy today. He also says Dallas allowed fans. Dallas allows fans, sure, that's great. But how do we know that when nobody wants to go see the now 3-7 Dallas Cowboys? Are they 3-7? They're 3-7 now, aren't they? 2-7? 2-8.
I think 4. That was their fourth win today.
Is it really?
I mean, it should be, but hey, we'll move forward.
No, hold on. Hold on. We're going to find this out. You know why? You know why? Dallas Cowboys are 3-7. Breaking news. So there you go. Yeah, nobody's going to go to that Dallas stadium. Nobody. Nobody. So we don't know what a Dallas stadium full of people actually looks like. Mike in the chat also says he'd get fans in Indiana too, which is I believe that might be true. Maybe. Possibly.
No Mass fans anymore, but we move forward. Thank you.
I will defer to Fenton. He's probably much more in the know than I am.
Unfortunately.
So that with that being said, man, I greatly appreciate you for coming on last minute. I greatly appreciate
Thank
everybody
you.
In the chat.
Hey, anybody who stopped by, I appreciate it. The show appreciates it. Shooting the Sports ish. Appreciates it. Mr. Gentleman over here appreciates it. And thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on, man. Like I said, I really appreciate you coming on. It was very last minute because Steven came down with a little bit of an illness last minute. But where can the people find more of your stuff, Mr. Fenton?
Nobody wants to hear anything about me. @ThomasFentonWNW. You can check me out. You can DM me. You can follow me. It is what it is. You will never get a wrong, hey, this is a bad take. It will be a, why in the hell did you think of that in the first place? I have to reprogram your brain. You were harmed as a child. Take.
Ah, yes. No, I love it. I love it. No, I'm a big fan of you. I'm a big fan of the shows that you've been doing with Tony. It's been great stuff, man. I've learned more about betting than I ever have in my entire life watching you and Tony talk. So I greatly appreciate everything you do, and thank you for coming on, man. I love it. Make sure everybody follow us on Twitter @HeadlockTalk. And while you're sitting there in the chat, make sure to hit that thumbs up button and share it with family members. Share it with a friend. Tell your friends about Headlock Talk and about Shooting the Sports Ish. Hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. Hit it. It's just right there. It's just right there. You can get more Headlock Talk content. You can tune in to Fenton and Tony talking sports betting all the time. We've got all sorts of news and great coverage for all the sports. We're coming out with even some NHL coverage. And then I've got this little thing called Radio Techers. I don't know if anybody watches it. I think people do. It's about Premier League coverage. Me and my good friend Mags talk Barclays Premier League coverage over in ye olde England. So that's a lot of fun. And then Mags, of course, talks about Five Rounds, which is MMA coverage, specifically UFC centric. So all good stuff here on Shooting the Sports Ish. If you are a sports fan, you haven't subscribed yet, hit that subscribe. What are you doing? And turn on the bell for notifications. That way, so you always get our new ish. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Texas Gentleman, Tanner Pruitt. My good friend Fenton here. Thank you for joining me. Peace out, everybody. Y'all take care. Love one another. I think is the point of this show. Love one another, Fenton. Good night, everybody.